If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike, and this is my favorite time of the show, Gary Ginsberg's What's Toxic.com. What's toxic, what's not is the segment title, but his own internet site, his own website is What's Toxic.com. Is that right, Gary?
That's correct. Thank you, Mike.
And now in of the things that are toxic, tell us about eggs and what we have to worry about in eggs.
Well, there's nothing more toxic known to toxicologists, known to people in the know, than dioxin. And so it is the most potent carcinogen we know about. It's the most potent environmental hormone.
And, so we should say that name again. It's dioxin. Dioxin is banned in the United States, but it is a known carcinogen worldwide. Why do people use dioxin?
Okay, no, dioxin's a pollutant. It's a contaminant. It's not like lead or arsenic it's not like asbestos. Okay, asbestos had a function in society, and it was found to be more problem than it was worth, but it at least had a purpose. Dioxin is a contaminant when you burn plastic, in Vietnam, where this story is headed, it was a contaminant of Agent Orange. Agent Orange was a pesticide used as a defoliant during the war to help our GIs fund the Viet Cong, but it was a contaminant of this. So there is no known use for it. It always appears as an inadvertent or burning type contaminant that gets into the environment, very persistent because all the chlorines on the molecule doesn't break down, builds up in our bodies, and is very potent at doing sort of hormonal type actions against our system. So this story is looking back at South Vietnam. You know, 40 years after the Vietnam War ended, and is saying how affected is that environment with respect to the residue that Agent Orange left behind. And one of the ways to tell is what's going into meat and poultry and eggs, because dioxin likes to go into these kinds of places and affect the diet of the local people. And so they looked at Agent Orange in three places. I'm sorry, dioxin-like material in three types of eggs. Eggs that were in areas that had been aerially sprayed and defoliated, eggs that had been coming from the general area of Vietnam that hadn't been sprayed, and then from an old Air Force base, which is now where people live, and are growing free-ranging chicken. So the eggs from two of the three places were actually pretty clean, were fairly low, which is the good news. Even places that were aerially sprayed with Agent Orange back during the Vietnam War did not have elevated levels of dioxin in the eggs that are being grown there now. But there is an army base that was a place where they handled large quantities of Agent Orange and where there was some spread around and they were sloppy with it. They might have applied it there. And there, the egg levels were through the roof. So people are eating eggs in Vietnam with high levels of Agent Orange from certain areas that they should be alerted to and known better about. We in this country, we had one dioxin scare in eggs about 15 years ago. There was a bad batch of feed that went into egg production, and the chickens had high levels in the meat and also in the eggs of dioxin. But that was from a bad batch of feed. It was found. FDA was on it. And so now our egg supply is good as far as dioxin goes.
But now why is the Vietnam egg problem a issue for us? Is it just if you travel to Vietnam, you got to worry about it? Or is there, it get back to the United States?
Yeah, it's not a problem for us here in the States as if you go to Southeast Asia, where a lot of Agent Orange have been used. You might want to be aware that the local eggs could be at issue, and poultry as well. You might be careful about exactly what your source of protein is when you're over there. Fish would probably be a better idea than meat and dairy because of the, it's sort of like if you went to Chernobyl, you'd have to be careful about the meat and dairy. Vietnam, you'd have to be careful, same way, but for a different reason.
Now, let's go and talk about, does pot smoking cause cancer? This is obviously, we have a couple of stations, in fact, four stations that carry us in Colorado. They're probably interested in this, and one in Seattle. Tell us about it.
Absolutely, Mike. And especially, even short of states legalizing it for general recreational use, the whole medical marijuana thing. Are we going to be seeing now a spike in lung cancer? I mean, this is something that people are inhaling, and it's smoke. And, usually talk to any toxicologist. He's going to want to see you taking less smoke, not more smoke. Cigarette smoking is obviously such a high cancerous. But marijuana does not have the tar content that cigarettes do. So that's one thing it has going for it. The studies that have, I'm referring now to just a very recently published meta-analysis where they've combined various epidemiology studies to pool the data and see what is the consensus from all these studies. Not a lot of lung cancer in the six, across the six studies that you can point to. So that doesn't seem, as of right now, given what we know. Now, of course, all of these studies have the uncertainty of lung cancer takes 25 years or so to develop. So we're asking people what were their pot smoking habits, and asking them to be honest about it 25 years ago and to remember 25 years ago. So there may be some biases in these studies. And the best study, of course, is a prospective one where you get the data up front and then you follow people for 20, 25 years. It's not a lot of, most of these are case control studies. So it's not always that good or solid, but from the signal we're getting, we're not seeing a major problem with lung cancer and pot smoking. Interestingly, however, there were three studies that looked at testicular cancer, obviously in men, and those were all positive. So the database has to emerge, so it doesn't look like it's squeaky clean. And we know that marijuana, THC, does affect male hormones, and if you smoke too much, you can actually start growing mammaries. Or as you might say, a male boob. And, we have a potential issue there with affecting the hormones.
And now Perk in New York City apartments. I may have to ask you to stay over again after the break because I want to get to the last one too. But Perk is in, what is Perk and why is it a problem in New York City apartments?
Okay, it's dry cleaning. The solvent that's used to clean your sleeping bag, your tuxedo, your wool sweater, perchloroethylene is the major number one dry cleaning solvent. It's a carcinogen. It affects the kidney, the liver. So the less, the better. And in this particular study, they looked at New York City apartment buildings because some of them have conveniently enough, and the people who live there have a dry cleaning operation in the first floor or the basement of the place, and that perchloroethylene is very volatile. That's why it's a dry cleaning solvent, because it volatilizes off your clothing, but it goes up through the entire building, and so they measure the apartments. And if you were in a lower-class apartment building that had dry cleaner in it, you had like four times the amount of perchloroethylene exposure than if you were in more of an upper class, say Upper East Side type of apartment building with a fancy entry and some dormant. Those apartments, if they had a dry cleaner in, much better off. So this is
When we come back, Gary, can I ask you to stay after?
Sure.
Okay, so when we come back, I want to go more into the Perk story because it's important. I think it's banned in some states like California, and we'll also talk about burning wood. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD, where the call is stay well. But for us, take control of your genes so you can live the optimal life on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We'll be right back with a little more of Gary Ginsberg.